Today marks the fourth day and final Sunday of Advent. The fourth and final Sunday of Advent. 24 days, all told, during the darkest part of the year. The days are short, the nights are long. Just a few days past, our hemisphere experienced what we call the winter solstice, an event that marks the shortest day of the year, an event that marks the incremental lengthening of days, an event noting more coming of light. This first season of the church year, of Advent, begins with readings that bring thought to the end times, or the parousia, as our theologians call it. But we're also led by our readings to a remembrance of the birth of Jesus. This Advent is a season of deliberate thoughtfulness, a season of purposeful thoughtfulness. On the first Sunday, we read Mark's characterization of the end times. Our reading from Mark tells us about the darkness that will overcome earth and plague the end of times. And we are admonished that while we do not know when that hour will happen, we are to be alert. We are to keep awake. On the second Sunday of Advent, we read the story of John the Baptizer, who was to prepare a way for the Messiah. He was to be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. John was that voice. And week three of Advent, we follow up on John the Baptizer by clearly stating his role in salvation and in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. John the Baptizer attests to the light. He also clearly tells his questioners that he baptizes with water. The one after John will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And John the Baptizer further emphasizes his role by stating that the one who is coming after him, he is unworthy to untie the thong of his sandal. So as the days of Advent grow shorter, the time of darkness increases, we are led scripturally toward that source of light. The lessons were carefully selected to tell a story, including the pleadings of the prophets of the Old Testament and on through the scriptures of all the Gospels. But the story is almost like a pixelated image. Though all are carefully interwoven in the Gospel, we find some pieces of the story separated from each other. Today's lesson begins with the appearance of the angel Gabriel, who comes to Mary to make a special announcement. These scriptural readings are often referred to as the Annunciation, which is another way of saying the announcement. Luke informs us that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, a phrase linking this announcement with the announcement concerning Elizabeth, a relative of Mary, and Zechariah, husband of Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel makes four appearances in our canonical scripture. Two of these are to Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, who is reported to have fallen on his face at his first encounter with the angel Gabriel. Gabriel came to Zechariah in the temple where he was performing priestly chores and told him that his barren wife of many years was to become pregnant. She would be having a child who was to be called John. In the New Testament, this John is the one we call John the Baptizer. Zechariah lost his voice and would not regain his voice until after the birth of his son, John. By all my thoughts, these encounters with angels appear to be very scary. But in today's lesson, Luke tells us that Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Mary is described as being perplexed and having wonderings about what this greeting must mean. Theologians and historians remind us that Mary was likely not much into her teen years during this encounter. This meeting of the angel Gabriel with Mary is the subject of many paintings, and I admit that much of my imaginings about this encounter go back to the artist Henry Osawa Tanner, who is very influential to me. Tanner depicts Mary as sitting upright near the head of the bed. There's darkness surrounding the room. She's sitting in a corner. She's young and dressed in a very long, simple gown that goes all the way down to her feet. Her hands are clasped together, and she looks to her right, where there is a cylinder of light that Tanner used to depict the angel Gabriel. And the look on Mary's face is one of rapt attention. And how well did Tanner portray Mary? Her face is glowing with light. Her toes peek out from under the long gowns that she's wearing. She's portrayed not in a formal manner, as many artists have portrayed her, but she is a real girl in a real setting on a real day. Gabriel goes on to tell Mary not to fear and to tell her the importance of her son Jesus, who will change the world. I am sure that Mary was indeed perplexed, and though perhaps assured by the words of Gabriel, she had much to think about. After all, he is an angel. Mary responded to this query by saying, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." A missing part of the story that's down toward the end of this is that during this time, Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and that Mary made a trip to visit her relative Elizabeth. While greeting Mary, the child of Elizabeth is said to have leapt with joy while in the womb, an acknowledgement of Jesus. And Elizabeth told Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Woman to woman, mother to mother." Luke then inserts this into a meeting between these words, into the meeting between these two women, the words of Mary, who says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." These lines of scripture refer to as the Magnificat. These words of Mary about her son describe how Jesus is going to turn the world upside down and change the culture of life on earth. She gives us an image of how things might be in her song. In place of the dark, cruel times in which she lived, she gives hope. He gives hope. He cast down the mighty and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Mary gives us a glimpse of how Jesus will set the world on its ear. She gives us a glimmer of light at the end of this dark season. We know that Jesus' destiny is the cross. We know his purpose is love. And we know his reason is us. But we wait and prepare ourselves for becoming the Christ child. Not much longer. It is not yet time. Meanwhile, be alert, be awake.